like to call this regular council meeting to order. Madam Clerk, the invocation, would you all rise, please?
We meet to serve our community and endeavor to be worthy custodians of all that has been entrusted to us. Let us be concerned only for what will promote good government. May we bring to our council chamber minds that think and hearts that feel, so that in our deliberations we may display imagination, wisdom, and courage, and the will to do our work for the good of all.
Thank you. Madam Clerk, the roll call, please.
Your Worship, all members of council are present.
Thank you. There are no announcements this evening. There are two addenda. One relates to a notice of motion provided at the last regular council meeting by Councillor Butler relative to a proposed transit committee terms of reference, and the other related to a closed session which will take place at the end of the meeting relative to a property matter. Are there any disclosures of pecuniary interest? There being none, there are several public meetings that are going to be coming up in the near future. First relates to a public meeting for recreational vehicles, which is a town-initiated amendment to consider the options with respect to amending the zoning bylaw to accommodate temporary storage of recreational vehicles. That public meeting takes place November the 7th, 2016 at 6 p.m. at the Town Hall in the Council Chambers. The information report from staff will be available to the public on our website on Wednesday, November 2nd, 2016. We also have a public meeting with respect to property rezoning relative to 5045 Michener Road, again, November the 7th, 2016 in the Council Chambers at 6 p.m. And again, the information report from staff will be available on our website on November the 2nd, 2016. The budget meeting schedule, first meeting is scheduled for Wednesday, November the 16th, 2016. That will be the capital budget and forecast. Second meeting is Wednesday, December 7th, 2016, when we will deal with water and wastewater operating budgets and the user fee analysis. Third meeting, Wednesday, January the 11th, 2017, when the library and EDTC will present their budgets. Fourth meeting, Wednesday, January the 25th, 2017, and we'll deal with the general levy operating budget and assessment analysis. If a fifth meeting is necessary, it will take place on Wednesday, February the 1st, 2017. All meetings are scheduled for 6 p.m. in the Town Council Chambers. We anticipate adopting the capital budget bylaw on December the 5th, 2016, the water and wastewater budget on Monday, January 16th, 2017, and the general levy budget on February 27th, 2017. The adoption of the bylaws is, of course, subject to public comments and council deliberations. We did have a presentation scheduled for this evening, but I don't see Mrs. Hesser here, so we will defer that other regular council meeting. And then we'll just move forward then. See Peter Papp, not here. And so what we will do is, why don't we go to Craig Shufelt and Larry Graber, who are here to speak to us on behalf of the public library. Evening, gentlemen. You have a presentation that needs to go up on our... Yeah. Dean sitting right there.
Sorry, there was a second folder on the desk.
Okay. Mayor Redekop, members of council, town staff, members of the press, library board members, friends of the library, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Larry Graber. I am the chair of the Fort Erie Public Library Board, and I just wanted to bring a few matters to your attention. October is Library Month, so we wanted to take this opportunity to update you on the Library Board stewardship of the Fort Erie Public Library. Our first priority this year was to update the strategic plan, which we did utilizing board members but also public consultations, including you, Mayor Redekop, and others. We are now taking action to build on six key strategic directions. Heavy focus is on improving the number and variety of partnerships and building services and collections by being responsive to community needs. The Centennial Branch encountered a significant problem earlier this year, which resulted in major electrical work having to be carried out. We wish to again thank Town Council and staff for stepping up and splitting the bill with the library. To ensure our library is taking the necessary steps to meet the needs of our patrons today and into tomorrow, and our capital expenditures meet those needs, we are delaying our capital purchases until the planned extensive study of our program, services, and space is completed. Much has been accomplished since we last appeared before Council. Our CEO, Craig Shufeldt, will share some of these with you.
Evening, thanks for having us tonight. Like Larry said, I'm just going to give a short report, a few slides. It's kind of a here's what we did last summer report, the kind of the fun stuff we've been doing. First of all, our summer reading program this year, as you can see, we did have over 400 participants. Despite what some people perceive as a drop in interest in kids reading, our numbers have actually gone up over each of the past few years. Also, as you can see, expanded programming beyond the traditional, focusing on programs where we stress hands-on participation or involvement. And I always like to include a few pictures in here. You can see on the left, we've got a group of kids who are doing some improv. And on the right, that's what it looks like, just a giant game of Twister, which was kind of cool. That was just for the kids. Our homework help program is now in its third year at both the Centennial and Crystal Ridge branches, running Monday to Friday for an hour and a half after school each day. We did really kick up the advertising this summer. Our numbers have been growing, but quite slowly. So this year we sent out flyers for the whole north end of Fort Erie, all the way down essentially to the QEW, most of Crystal Beach and parts of Ridgeway, trying to especially get all the school areas that might use any of our branches. We've added structured programming for the kids in the program also who don't have specific homework on each day. We find that if we don't give them structure, you've essentially got 10 or 15 kids running around a room. So it's working out fantastic. It's called the STEAM program. So each of those, it's an acronym. So Monday's science, Tuesday's technology, and so on. So if you want some interesting stuff, come by on Friday and hear the music, for better or worse. It's interesting. And through the first few weeks, we have seen quite an increase. Through this point last year, we were getting about 5 or 6 kids on a regular basis. Now we're up to about 12 to 15. It's become, we've always held it quite close to us as far as importance is concerned, and so we're glad to see the return on the numbers. Our maker editions. Makerspace is kind of a catch-all term that libraries are using for things that allow people to come in and make things, do things, have their hands on more than just sitting there with a book or watching a film or whatever it might be. There was a provincial technology grant last year. We received somewhere in the neighborhood of $6,000. We used it to purchase, as you can see, some robots and other hands-on items. Besides the robotic toys, we also purchased electronic building kits that you could use for circuitry. So, again, giving kids the chance to learn some hands-on science. A button maker, a stop-motion kit, a vinyl cutter, and a die cutter that we've been using in some of our program. So, again, going with something a little different. We also have a new 3D printer with increased capabilities, which is probably the most noticeable or most noticed and commented on facet of the Centennial branch. And we've moved the other one out to Crystal Ridge now as well. A couple of pictures here. Those are both robots. The one on the right you can see is the little blue three circular thing that you control. They're actually using an iPad there to control it. And to control it, they don't just open it. They actually have to do some coding into the iPad to get it to move. So what we like about this is that it's allowing kids to do something fun and cool while they're learning without even realizing that they're actually learning something. And the one on the left, it's a little tougher to see, but those kids are drawing patterns. You can see on the right, about halfway up, there's a little greenish blue, what looks like a ball. That's actually, again, a tiny robot. And it's going along a path that the kids are making. They're coding by colors there on those sheets that they have in front of them. It's pretty neat. You know, you do blue to make it turn left, red to go straight. So it's, again, it's almost like solving a puzzle for the kids. So we've been very, very excited about the programs we've been able to offer with these maker editions. And just a couple of other things that happened this month. Here's a picture of our How To Festival. The second one that we've done, we did one about 2 years ago. This one proved probably twice as popular. Over 300 people came into the library that day. Again, lots of involvement, not a lot of standing around. People were doing things. On the left, you can see our friends of the library table. And actually, I'd again like to say thanks for all the friends who are in the audience here tonight. They're making bookmarks to that table. I believe it was Pikachu. Yeah. Like everything right now, it was Pokemon related. And on the right, we've got a local artist, Danny Fast, teaching kids how to draw. I believe superheroes, I believe he was doing. We also had, I don't have a picture of it, but we did have our fifth annual library trivia event last week, thanks to Councillor Passero for, again, being our master of ceremonies, coming up with some good questions and keeping people guessing. So, again, lots going on, lots planned for the next few months, and I'll let Larry wrap that up.
I always get to do the dry stuff. He gets all the fun stuff. But in my opening comments, I mentioned we would be undertaking an extensive study of existing programs, services, collections, and space at all of our three branches. We sent out an RFP, which resulted in three submissions. I am pleased to advise that of these, a firm has been chosen to conduct the project, which is expected to take approximately 6 months, with completion planned for late spring of 2017. Following completion and based on their findings, conclusions, and recommendations, the board and staff will devise a plan to implement the recommendations in as timely a manner as possible. We trust today's overview provides Council with insight into the actions of the Fort Erie Public Library Board and staff. Please be assured that the board members are properly handling the administration of the library, and staff members are effectively operating the library to keep, as we say, an open door to lifelong learning and leisure opportunities for the empowerment of all members of the community. Thank you for allowing us the opportunity to update you on what's happening at the Fort Erie Public Library.
Thank you very much, Mr. Graber and Mr. Shufeldt. That was very informative and very helpful. Are there any members of Council that have any questions? Councilor McDermott, why not?
Well, I can't sit on the library board and not say anything, I suppose. One thing that was mentioned tonight was that there were 436 readers from the Readers Program, 2,463 books read, and the ages for this reading program was between 9 and 12. So tell me that's not exceptional. One thing that wasn't mentioned tonight, and I want to reinforce it, because all these programs that are available to these young people are because of our new children and teen librarian, Carissa Fast. She's doing a marvelous job. I'm certain the board agrees with me on that. And we're thrilled to have her here. So those are my comments. Keep up the good work.
Thank you, Councilor McDermott. Any other councilors? Thank you very much, gentlemen. Look forward to seeing you in January. Yes. So, Ms. Soans, I don't know, did you want to wait for Mr. Papp, or you're ready to go without him? No, it's up to you. We can stand it down if you wish, or if you wish to proceed, we can do that right now, too. It's up to you. All right, well, why don't you come forward, then, and you can provide us with your presentation, and we'll go from there. So you are Carrie Lynn Soans, and you are with Community Support Services of Niagara. Good evening.
Mayor and Town Council of Fort Erie, my name is Carrie Lynn Soans. I am the Volunteer Coordinator and Services for Community Support Services of Niagara. This thing is going to run. Belongs. We have three offices. We have one in Welland, we have one in Beamsville, and we have one in St. Catharines. The slide that's up there gives you the areas that we take in place and the percentages that we deal with. I don't know why this is jumping, sorry. It says that right there, right now, 1 in 7 people are a senior. And in the year 2036, 1 in 4 people will be a senior. So the people that we're serving, our clients, are seniors and people with disabilities. This gives you a profile of the type of person that we're dealing with. This would be, our client would be someone, a gentleman here, who his wife has just passed away, and he would be using the Meals on Wheels.
So, Ms. Stones, I can advise you that your assistant has just arrived.
Ah! Do you want to speak now? Or would you? Oh, okay. Sorry, this computer is jumping, and I don't know why. So this would be a gentleman who has just lost his wife. So he's a person who might not cook. He's lonely. So we have services that could help him with the loneliness and for meals. We do a lot of our services are done by volunteers. We are able to do the Meals on Wheels and our friendly visiting. All these different things are all done. I don't know why it keeps jumping. Sorry. You're going to look at that for me? Perfect. Our volunteers donate we have now over 500 volunteers that are with us, that are helping out with our services. Okay. Anyone can make a referral. All you have to do is call into the office and we'll help you. We have Meals on Wheels that runs out of our Welland office and our Beamsville office that is run by volunteers for hot meals as well as frozen meals. We work in collaboration with the Meals on Wheels here in Fort Erie as well as Niagara Falls, St. Catharines, Niagara-on-the-Lake, and so on. We have a lunch out program, and what that does is it's to help with the loneliness and interaction. So if a client wants to go to our lunch out and they don't have a ride, we'll find them a ride through our volunteers. They go, they pay for their lunch, and then they have a social interaction. They do an activity or such things. Our transportation, we give out almost 15,000 rides. And presently here in Fort Erie, it's starting to grow, which is really nice that we're able to do more rides for more clients. That's where the client would call up. If they have a doctor's appointment, they're able to go from their home to their doctor's appointment if it's in, in Fort Erie, and it would be $9 round trip for them. Our volunteer takes them to their doctor's appointment and back because that's usually about 20 kilometers, so we give them that round trip. We also find that there's a lot of clients that need to go out of town. So we also have that for them. We have people that drive to Hamilton, Toronto. They go to Niagara Falls. They go to Welland. We actually got a phone call the other day that they have a client that needs to go to London. And our volunteers are willing to do these drives. The only thing that the client has to do is pay the kilometers to get there and back. There's no time limit on that. The out-of-town trips, just on the in-town, we give about 2 hours and two stops. If it goes over that, then there's the charge of a double charge, which makes it $18. We have our friendly visiting. The friendly visiting is set up for the loneliness and the isolation. So our clients that are isolated and don't get to get out, and because they're not as mobile right now or things like that, we have volunteers that go in once a week into someone's home and they visit with them. We had a program that we were running. It was called Through the Years, and the volunteer would take a notebook, and the client would tell them about their lives, and they would document it for them. When they were finished, they had a book all about their lives that the volunteer presented to the client. The clients really enjoy that, and our volunteers get a lot out of this. The other one is the phone chat. We have the phone chat and reassurance. With family members living all over the place, we don't have an opportunity to contact our loved ones as much. So this phone chat and reassurance, Monday through Friday, if you were a person that was on the list to get a phone call, between 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock, we have a list of clients that our volunteer or our coordinator would call every morning just to say, hi, it's Carrie Lynn, how are you, and make sure that they're all right. If they do not answer the phone, their name goes to the bottom of the list. We try to get a hold of them a couple of times. If we're not successful in getting a hold of them, then we contact their emergency contacts. So so we can find out if there's a problem. We like the ones that when we call the emergency contact, they say, oh, we're sorry, we have mom or dad, and that's great. But if there's an emergency that is, then we're able to deal with it for them. The home support exercise program, we work in partnership with the March of Dimes with this. This is a 12-week program. It's 10 gentle exercises. It's to help with balance and mobility. This, again, is a free service. Volunteers, in order to be a volunteer for this, they have to go through a 4-hour training session. So if you're a March of Dimes client and they have a March of Dimes staff to do the exercises, they do it with them. If the client do not have a staff member that can do the exercise for them, then they call me and I find them a volunteer. And it works really well. We've had a lot of people who have done this program and after the 12 weeks have asked to do it again, and we're able to do that for them. We have homemaking. Homemaking, we hire for this. These are employees. They go in and they do a light housekeeping. So no hands and knees scrubbing the floor, but they'll mop, they'll do bathrooms, dusting. But they don't only just do that. They might put a load of laundry in for you. They could do a meal prep. If you have a couple of groceries that need to be picked up at the grocery store not far, they can do that for you as well. It's for clients that are 60 years of age and older. And it is $16 an hour with a minimum of 2 hours a month. And that would be in one, so you could either do it weekly, biweekly, or once a month. We have the home maintenance. That, I say, is where we take the yellow pages out of it for the clients. In order to be a brokered worker, they have to go through and have a vulnerable police check done and then go through our screening in order to be put onto our list. Lately, I've got a lot of calls from Fort Erie about snow removal. So the clients will call me and they'll say, I need someone to help me to remove the snow, because you people get a lot of snow out here. So what happens is I would then in turn register them as one of our clients, and then I give them two names and numbers. They would then in turn call the brokered worker themselves and make the arrangement. They tell the person that they're calling that they got the number from us, because what happens is then they give them a discount rate because they know it's a senior or a person with a disability. Safety at home. This is a free assessment, and the person that does that job will go out and make suggestions of things that could help you, where if you need a grab bar or if you need some different home repairs or things like that. She'll help to set you up if you need to have, there's also the falls prevention, and if you need assistance for financial, she'll also help you with that if you qualify. Excuse me. We have the Snow Buddies and Leaf Buddies. This is where we rely a lot on our students to do their volunteer hours. And we would then, in turn, match a volunteer up with the client that needs to have their driveway shoveled. We always say to the clients to understand that these are mostly students that are doing this and they're volunteering for their community hours, and that they'll either come before school or after school. It's also done with the leaves. We have a wellness supportive program. There are four buildings. There is one in Welland, two in St. Catharines, and one in Niagara Falls. And I always say that the government put an umbrella over these four buildings. And there are four agencies that work together within those buildings. And what we do as community support services, we provide the recreation. So we get them to socialize. We have breakfasts, we have outings, we have crafts, we have movie nights, things like that, just for the socialization. We also do security checks with that. We have the Niagara Hindu program, and that is run on Fridays weekly. Our driver will go and pick up anyone who does not have a ride to go to the temple in Niagara Falls. This is open for everyone is welcome. You get to have an opportunity to do the yoga and experience the Asian food in this program. We also have all of our services in French. This shows you some pictures of different things, such as the Meals on Wheels. We had our opening. We opened our new Welland office in the Seaway Mall. In order to be a volunteer, our volunteers also have to go through and have a vulnerable police check done, as well as our screening, so everyone is screened. That's where you can find us. And thank you very much. I also have a package for each one of you, so that it has all the information that I've presented tonight.
Thank you, Ms. Soans. Did Mr. Papp want to make any additional comments? Evening, sir. Nice to have you in Fort Erie.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, members of council, you can blame Mayor Dave. I got to go back to a special meeting in Pelham. Very quickly, thank you so much for having us here. My job over the next 5 months that's left is to act as I've been the interim executive director. We're trying to build awareness. We're trying to get people committed. And we're trying to ensure that these are the types of services that are being provided by an agency, and that we become the preferred agency to keep and ensure the seniors stay at home. I don't think I have to explain to you, all of you know, that you have had loved ones. They're being discharged from hospital. They run into all kinds of multiple issues. And we as an agency, especially through people like Carrie Lynn, are expanding that and helping them ensure that. Anything we can do to help you, enhancing that image, would be deeply appreciated. And we trust that you'll be seeing more of us throughout the community. We are also going to be applying together with the Meals on Wheels and many others for additional funding through what they call Patients First. Some of you probably aware of that. There's almost $750 million, $100 million towards helping seniors stay at home. I thank you, Mr. Mayor, as and members of council and the citizens and staff. If there's anything that you'd like to ask us, please do so, and we will definitely be in constant touch with you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Do any members of council have any questions? Councilor Zanko.
Thank you, Ms. Soans, and thank you, Mr. Papp. I wanted to say how incredibly interesting I found your presentation, first of all. And I also wanted to say that I think maybe it is quite important, especially in this area, to build that awareness. So I'm just wondering what we can do as a municipality to help you spread that awareness, whether perhaps it's a copy of your presentation. Maybe we can make that available on our website. Share your Facebook page through social media. I know that a lot of the residents that might participate in your program may not be computer savvy, but of course their loved ones probably are. So just wondering, you know, if there's anything you can think of that we can do, and perhaps maybe Janine can get a copy of your presentation for our website.
That would be great if you could do that. We really appreciate that. I have just recently been at the library, and we've been posting things there. We also, I did an article for the Fort Erie Times, and it's been out there. So anything that you can do to promote, we really appreciate that, because the whole point of this is to help people that need the help, and that's what we want to do.
Thank you. And just one more comment. I think that I can agree that there's a lot of residents that have loved ones that may not know that there is this type of support. So thank you very much to the organization for making that available.
So I'd like to state and work with the mayor and members of staff. We want to increase our, I won't elaborate now, our physical presence here, and so that you become familiar with our trademark name. And then you can have easy access. We're going to try and make it as easy as possible for seniors because we know that there's a vulnerability, and we understand, particularly I have a special spot here in Fort Erie Mile. My family and great-grandmother and great-grandfather grew up here. They all worked at the track. So I drove by tonight, and I was a little bit saddened to see that the hotel down on Highway 3 had closed. They used to own that, not that I drank any beer, but the main thing was that we were always a very special community here, and I think we look forward over the next few months to intensifying that presence. Thank you. Anything you need, contact us, Carrie Lynn, myself, and we'll be happy to supply with all the materials that you need.
Thank you, Councillor Zanko. Anything further? Any other councillors? Thank you very much. Yes, thank you. Okay, that takes us then to the consent agenda, and Councillor Zanko, you have the resolution to put the consent agenda on the floor.
Yes, I do. Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Knott, the Council approves the consent agenda items as recommended.
Are there any questions or comments arising out of the items in the consent agenda? I'm wondering if anyone was interested in maybe, instead of just receiving the AMO What's Next Ontario project, maybe contemplating supporting that. That has to do with the infrastructure gap. The other thing that I wanted to comment on, with respect to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee, there was a suggestion in there about the budget. And Mr. Jansen, just for your edification, we are contemplating requesting a budget of $2,500. That obviously hasn't spent the money yet, but we know that there is a process that we have to go through. Councillor Knott.
Thank you, Your Worship. In regards to the AMO, since I have attended the conferences, I'll just briefly speak on a comment as to why at this time I don't think we should support it. It's very vague and very broad-reaching, and what applies to some of the larger municipalities that have a lot more infrastructure that are further in disrepair, even some of the local Niagara ones that are worse off than we are. Putting something like that in place until Mr. Walsh is finished with the asset management plan and things like that, I think it's just premature right now. And I think that we're better serving our constituents by doing a what suits Fort Erie type asset management plan. And maybe at that time we can look at supporting the or sending our information to AMO.
I think this is more directed at making sure that the upper levels of government don't shirk what we consider to be their responsibilities to ensure that there is funding that will be available for infrastructure in all municipalities rather than simply leaving it on the backs of the property owners. But that's fine. We can. I just raised that. I noticed that we're receiving it, and that's fine. Any other questions or comments with respect to the resolution? There being none, all those in favor of the resolution? Opposed, that is carried. That then takes us to new business, and I note that there was a response to council inquiries from the last meeting, and I'm wondering whether Jennings, do you have this? This has to do with the tower. We generally read that into the record so that it's clear to the listeners that we've dealt with that from last meeting.
The nature of the inquiry, Mayor Redderkop requested information on which Industrial Canada protocol was followed for the telecommunication tower located at 2594 Dominion Road and whether the protocol followed was the appropriate protocol. Response, the telecommunication tower now located at 2594 Dominion Road followed the Industry Canada procedures outlined in Client Procedures Circular CPC-2-0-03, Issue 4, Radio Communication and Broadcasting Antenna Systems, which came into effect on January 1, 2008. Planning staff have consulted with Industry Canada staff, and they have confirmed that this telecommunication tower followed the appropriate procedure. Industry Canada approved update procedures outlined in CPC 02-0-03, Issue 5, Radio Communications and Broadcast Antenna Systems, on July 14, 2015. Industry Canada has confirmed that since the telecommunication tower located at 2594 Dominion Road was already approved when the updated Issue 5 procedures came into effect, the telecommunication tower at 2594 Dominion Road is not subject to the procedures outlined in Issue 5, and that are no transition policies included in Issue 5 that would apply retroactively.
Thank you, Mr. Jennings. Before we go to inquiries, Councillor Passero, you have a resolution under new business?
Yes, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Knott, that Council appoints Skylar Harrison to the Mayor's Youth Advisory Committee for the period ending November 30th, 2018.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Are there any inquiries by members of council? Councillor Luberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just wondering if staff could give us an update and maybe give us some kind of a scheduling on where we're at with our secondary plans and CIPs throughout the town. I've had some inquiries from some residents down at Crystal Beach, and they would like to move forward with something. I know last year we discussed this, and there was everybody was lined up, and I'm just wondering how we're making out, what kind of progress we're at, and what kind of timeline we can be looking at.
I'll try Mr. Jennings. I don't know if he would have the response to that. He's obviously building.
Yes, I understand that, yeah.
For Mr. Brady for the time being. Mr. Jennings, would you have any knowledge of the secondary plans?
I would not have any knowledge at this time.
Okay, I know that we're working at the south end. Mr. Cookett, do you have any information you can provide to Councillor Lubritz? Failing which, we'll ask Mr. Brady to provide it.
I don't have anything, Your Worship, at this time, but we can definitely provide the information to Councillor Lubritz. I guess your question is the timing of when we will be doing secondary plans for certain areas. Is that your question?
Yes. Basically, just giving council an update on where we're at with the secondary plans that we're working on now, and then I would like to know some kind of timing of when Crystal Beach is going to be when we're going to start looking at Crystal Beach and putting something together for that.
Through your worship, to Councillor Lubritz, we absolutely can provide you with that. I recall a report maybe going back 6 months that we did provide that information. It did have a schedule of the secondary plans and a schedule, but we can definitely provide that again.
Please circulate that to all members of council.
We'll do.
Okay. Anything else, Councillor Lubritz? Any other councillors? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Mayor DeCobb. Regarding how our consent agenda is structured, I noticed that we put appointments under new business, but yet for people who are resigning from committees, it's kind of buried under other matters. I wonder if we could change that so those people get some recognition for having served on our boards and committees, so it's not just considered as part of the consent agenda. Maybe we could also make that a new business inquiry. Many of these people serve faithfully and for many years at a time, and I think just to bury them in the consent agenda doesn't always do them the service that they require.
Madam Clerk.
Immediately, I do not see an issue with that through you, Your Worship.
Okay. So in the future, then, unless there's an issue that you identify, those will be contained under new business.
Certainly.
Anything further, Councillor Passero?
If I could just elaborate to Councillor Lubert's point, we have another public meeting of our focus group for the South End Neighborhood Plan occurring this week. That is our second with that group. We've already had a staff meeting as well, and we expect to have that portion of the neighborhood plan process completed in the months ahead, and then we can move on to the next one on the list.
Okay. Any other inquiries? Not, then we'll go to motions, and Councillor Butler, you have a motion with respect to telecommunications tower approval.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Just wanted to acknowledge that Councillor Passero, assisted me with this, putting this resolution together. And it was really, I'm very grateful because his experience and knowledge on this topic from last council and our discussions with the constituents led us to delve into it by way of research. And we were able to compile the information, and Councillor Passero did take the lead and wrote this resolution. So I did want to thank him for helping me with that. So, moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, whereas CPC-2-0-03, was circulated in 2014 by Industry Canada, now called the Ministry of Innovation, Science and Economic Development Canada, and made effective July 15, 2014. And whereas CPC-2-0-03 contains changes to protocols and processes concerning radio communication and the broadcasting antenna systems, and whereas many of these changes are related to the public consultation process, the consultation requirements extended to the Land Use Authority, LUA, and the timeframes allowed for the process to be completed, and whereas it is desirable to hold all radio communication and broadcasting antenna system proponents and their affiliates to the newer and higher standards regardless of when their application was submitted, and whereas CPC-2-02-03 requires that construction of antenna systems must be completed within 3 years from the conclusion of consultation. Now, therefore, be it resolved that the Council of the Corporation of the Town of Fort Erie respectfully calls upon the Minister of Innovation, Science and Economic Development Canada to instruct proponents of any radio communication and broadcasting antenna systems where more than 3 years has lapsed between the consultation process and completed construction be required to submit a new application to the Minister and restart the process outlined in 1.3 process overview of CPC-2-02-03 and further that this be applied to all antenna systems, regardless of their state of construction or the start date of their application, and further that the landowners where antenna systems or support towers are sited and or already under construction not be penalized in any way by the proponents of such systems or towers as a result of the actions requested by way of this resolution, and further that this resolution is circulated to the Honorable Navdeep Bains, Minister of Innovation, Science and Economic Development, the Honorable Vance Badaway, MP for Niagara Centre, and the Honorable Rob Nicholson, MP for Niagara Falls.
Councillor Butler, just before we deal with this, I noticed that in the response to inquiries, there was a reference to CPC 2-0-03 issue 5. Approved July 14th, 2015. And your resolution refers to that CPC 2-0-03. It doesn't make specific reference to issue five, but I think it does. I wonder, Mr. Jennings, you didn't prepare the memo, so you wouldn't be firsthand familiar with that. The date that you have in your resolution would have come from somewhere.
We can double check that. There's sometimes discrepancies between when it was introduced, when it was effective, and then when it was circulated, but we can double check those dates. To the second point regarding issue 5, that's the issue that was specifically requested through your
right.
Intent, and this is a more encompassing, this is the entire CPC that we're looking at with more changes than just what you had requested through information.
According to the information we got, issue 4 was approved January 1st, 2008. So I'm thinking that the update took place at one time. And,
yes.
And before we send out this resolution, perhaps we can just confirm the accurate date. It looks like there may be numbers transposed or not. Is that a problem?
We can work with the clerk to make sure and
just,
Mr. Jennings as well.
Excuse me. Do you have a problem with that?
What's moved now should be correct before it's carried, in my opinion, Your Worship.
All right. So what we're going to do is we'll simply provide the understanding that that date is to be verified as the resolution goes out. Hey, Madam Clerk?
That's the July 15th date, is it?
Yeah. It's either July 15th, 2014 or July 14th, 2015. We just need to verify that date.
Certainly.
Okay. Any questions or comments with respect to the motion? Did you want to speak to that, Councillor Butler?
You know, Your Worship, both Councillor Passera and I have talked to constituents and we've talked to the individual that has the tower on his property and all are in agreement that they're in support of this motion. So,
anyone else wish to speak to it? Sure.
Just a question. Obviously, I am supporting this motion. I'm just wondering, in addition to this motion, is there anything that residents can do since this is federal policy? Would it be wise for them to request perhaps a meeting with Mr. Nicholson's office? Or I feel like, obviously, you know, we're here to support you and we're 100% in favor of this motion, but I'm just wondering what else can be done, I guess.
Well, I don't know if it's been undertaken, but I would think the more successful route would be through the MP Vance Badaway, who's a member of the government, and I don't think there's any MP in Canada that isn't affected by this type of issue. All of the rural communities are dealing with this, and so I can't believe that Port Colborne or Welland wouldn't have this issue. So I would think that it would be Vance Badaway that the residents here may want to follow this up with. We will be sending him a copy of this, and certainly I'll be speaking to him about this as well. That would be my suggestion. He's new, he's eager, he's a member of the government.
Okay, thank you.
Any other councillors? Councillor Passero?
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to thank the residents for being here tonight, and I recognize many faces from a couple of weeks ago. We're happy to put this forward on your behalf, and as the mayor mentioned and we've discussed previously, who to put in your sights for your next round of conversations. And I specifically want to mention Jeff and Janice Klein for taking the lead amongst the residents in your neighborhood and for bringing this forward to our attention. This really is the best that we can do at this level. I hate having to say that, but that really is the truth. But we're hoping that this at least gives you a stepping stone, something on record that you can take forward to that level of government that can actually affect the change to do this. And further to Councillor Zanko's point, next week under new business, I do have some ideas for staff because of the changes in the CPC and the expansion of the consultation process that municipalities can play a part in. I do want to get some staff feedback and some ideas as to how we can expand our scope municipally, even if we don't have a final yes or no still. But I think there are still some things we can do as far as notification goes, and I'll be bringing those forward at a future council date.
Any other councillors? All those in favor of the resolution? None opposed? That is carried. Thank you, Councillor Butler, and thank you for the residents. Okay, Councillor Nutt, you have the next motion.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Zanko, whereas the town of Fort Erie is continuing to address drainage concerns throughout the municipality, and whereas the Drainage Act requires an engineer's report to identify the proposed solution to the drainage problem and how the costs will be shared, and whereas the fees and expenditure of the engineer form part of the cost of the drainage work, and whereas Section 61, Subsection 3 of the Drainage Act, RSO 1990, Chapter D, 17, as amended, provides that where the assessment against any parcel of land is $50 or less, the council of the local municipality may provide that the assessment shall be paid out of the general funds of the municipality, or that the assessment shall be paid in the first year in which the assessment is imposed upon the land assessed, and whereas in some instances there is considerable time that elapses between the engineer's report being adopted and the commencement of drainage works identified in the report. Now, therefore, it be resolved that 1. That the drainage works are not scheduled to be completed within 5 years of the date of adoption of the engineer's report by council. The municipality shall pay for the engineer's report out of the general funds of the municipality. And 2. Once drainage works commence, the appointed share to each landowner of the cost of the drainage report as described in the assessment shall be reimbursed to the municipality in the same manner and time frame as the drainage work costs are levied.
Wish to speak to that, Councillor Nutt?
I do, Your Worship.
Proceed.
So this goes to the fact that we don't have anything in the 10-year capital plan, and I understand that Dave Maiden, who's new to the position of drainage superintendent, is doing his best to formulate maintenance repair schedules and works that are going to be needed to be done. We need the report for information. I support that. But I think that this is a case where the municipality should have front-end paid for the report, and then once the works are done, then recoup the costs as part of the drainage works once the work is being done. I'd also like to thank the clerk for helping me clear up a couple of the wording items. She was very helpful through this.
Any questions? Any comments? We'll start with Councillor Passero, then we'll go to Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, Your Worship. I support this. The more I looked into this, I keep keying in on the words benefiting landowner. And to me, benefiting landowners should be much more than just having paid for a report that's going to sit there for 5 or 10 years. And I'm not in favor of us paying for the reports, because I don't think we can absorb those types of costs. But I think in certain situations that this resolution speaks to, if it's more than the 5-year time frame, I don't see any issue with us front-ending those costs and then being reimbursed by the actual benefiting landowner. And to me, the benefiting landowner is the person who owns the property when the improvements are made as part of the drainage works. So this is kind of a net zero for us as we roll out going forward, because eventually those funds will come back, hopefully, that we will get those works done. So I support this. I think it's a creative way to solve an issue that we have. We keep the drainage on schedule, and I think that we right a wrong with the time that lapses between some of these reports and some of the works actually being completed. So I commend Councillor Nutt for bringing this forward.
Before I go to you, Councillor Zanko, just looking at the wording of this, I don't know, Mr. Lustig, whether you or Mr. Jansen, you can comment on the ability of the municipality to recapture these costs if we pay them in the first instance.
Great. Can you repeat the question?
Does the Drainage Act permit the municipality to recapture these costs several years down the road if we pay them out of the general levy?
I'm not aware of any conflict of timing with regards to that. But that's something we could investigate, but I don't think that is the case.
All right. And Mr. Lustig, you haven't had a chance to look into it?
No, I haven't. Your Worship, it doesn't seem to be unreasonable, though, that we do this. This is going to, as Councillor Passero put it, put us in whole eventually, because we're going to end
right up
and covering the cost of the study as just a part of the cost of the work. So I can't see it being a problem,
okay,
but I haven't looked at the Act in relation to this.
And thank you. Councillor Zanko.
Thank you, and I also want to thank Councillor Passero for just clarifying that, and Councillor Nutt. Initially, I wasn't prepared to support this. My concern being that the costs will come out of the general levy, and my constituents just went through a very similar project, and they did pay for the costs. But knowing that we will have the ability to recapture those costs, I do agree with the wording. I do agree with the time frame. So that does provide me with a little bit of assurance, knowing that we will essentially recapture those costs. So I will be supporting this now.
Any other councillors? Councillor McDermott.
Yes, through you to Mr. Jansen. So if I understand this correctly, most of these constituents have already paid or have a bill that they have yet to pay. What kind of a nightmare is that going to be in the bookkeeping end?
So you're talking specifically now about the Black Creek
drain. That's right.
And I guess the first question would be, will this apply to Black Creek drain where the bills have already been sent out?
I don't believe that we're making any adjustments to what we've currently billed. I think this is perspective going forward. So in this case, it wouldn't be any adjustments. In terms of in future accounting issues, it is a less desirable from an accounting perspective in that we leave our any capital-related projects or some of these ongoing projects open longer. And that's how I think we would be treating these, but it is possible.
Does that help, Councillor McDermott?
Yes, thank you.
Any other questions or comments before we call the vote? I'm sorry, Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. I don't know who to direct this to, but just looking at the motion itself, is this something that we're going to be doing in the future to future engineers' reports that come forward? Because once we start this, I don't know that we just default back to the old way unless somebody complains about it. And so are we going to, is this going to be something that we're going to continue on with, or is this just a one-time deal?
Well, not knowing exactly what was in Councillor Nutt's mind, but reading the resolution, it would seem to me that all future municipal drain reports that we receive, if there's not going to be work contemplated within a five-year horizon, the municipality will pay for the cost of the preparation of the report, and then when work is done, the municipality will assess the benefiting owners not only for the actual work, but also for their share of the cost of the report. So that's the way it appears to me, without knowing anything more about it. So I would say all future drain reports going forward. Councillor Liberts?
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. And just looking at the fourth whereas, and I think we take a look at the Drainage Act, and it says that if the assessment is $50 or less, then we can do this, pay this out of the general levy. Is there any other assessments that were more than $50 that those landowners are going to be paying for?
Well, since the only report that we have outstanding right now would be the St. John's Marsh drain, which I think is on the agenda for first and second reading. Yes. So there are. This is just a reference to what Section 61.3 provides, so that theoretically the municipality could pay all levies of $50 or less and leave it at that. That's simply what this is a reference to. Provide some of the context within which the motion is put forward, but also says that as an alternative, those who are assessed can pay within 1 year. This is a contextual whereas.
Yes, I'm not following you. Where is it where it says that we can pay for it out of the general levy if it's more than $50? Where is that in the Act? I guess that's what I'm looking at.
Okay. Mr. Walsh, would you know that?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, the Act with respect to assessments of more than $50 is specific in that the benefiting landowner should pay.
I believe that the legislation also provides that the municipality may pay for the cost of not only the report but the drainage work. Is that not correct?
That's correct as well, yeah.
So the municipality can pay for the whole thing if it chooses without considering recovering any portion of the costs. This speaks to the report only, speaks about the town front-ending the costs and then recouping those later when the actual work is done.
I'm still not seeing that in this here, whereas I don't see where we're telling the landowners. Maybe we need to amend it so that anything over $50 will also be paid. I don't know, but
well,
I think it needs to be clear that everybody's paying for it all.
That's a whereas, Councillor Lewis. You'd need to go to the operative provisions of the motion, and that would be number one, which is on the next page, which says that where drainage works are not scheduled to be completed within 5 years of the date of adoption of the engineer's report by council, the municipality shall pay for the engineer's report out of the general funds of the municipality. So it will be the entire cost, whether there are people who are assessed $50 or people are assessed $3,000 or whatever it is, the municipality will pay for the entire cost.
Okay.
Anyone else? Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. If I may add something to the conversation, the Black Creek drain and the timing of the works in relation to the report is atypical to the way we operate. Typically, when we undertake an engineer's report, it is closely followed by construction, and both the cost of the report and the construction is billed out at once, and that's typically within 5 years of the completion of the report.
Any other councillors? Call the question. All those in favor? Oh, Is that an early yes or an early no? Okay, none opposed, that is carried. Then that takes us to the addendum, and Councillor Butler, you have another resolution, this relative to the Transit Committee.
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor McDermott, whereas a presentation was made to Council and Committee on October 3rd, 2016 by Wally Buck, CET, Transit Consulting Network in support of Transit Route, Bus Stop and Facility Improvements Plan, Report Number IS-34-2016, and whereas Council adopted in principle the recommendations and 5-year service enhancement plan of the Transit Route, Bus Stop and Facility Improvements Plan Phases 1 and 2 dated September 1st, 2016, and whereas Council directed staff to undertake implementation of the 5-year service concept and plan with service levels and routes to be subject to annual budget deliberations, and whereas Council directed staff to initiate Phase 3 of the plan to design, indicate locations, and install capital on-street bus stops to enhance the service as described in Report Number IS-34-2016, and whereas it is desirable to have a transit committee comprised of members of the community, staff, transit manager, and a council representative to work together in guiding the transit route, bus stop, and facility improvements plan. Now, therefore, be it resolved that Council directs staff to prepare a report regarding the establishment of a transit committee, including terms of reference.
Thank you. Are there any questions or comments? Did you want to speak to that, Councillor Butler?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. The report that Wally Beck, or the presentation that Wally Beck gave us, was so large that I think it's imperative for us to have a committee to represent all of the community, as opposed to just having a transit manager and a consultant work on a route for us. Those in the community that need to use the bus are probably well versed as to where it should go and who should be tapping into those services.
I couldn't agree with you more. Are there any other questions or comments? Councillor Lubberts.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just a question on the committee itself. Is this a transit committee that we're going to continue with after we do the last whereas? Because when I'm reading it, it looks like we're putting a committee together to guide the transit route, bus, and facility improvement plans. But I don't see it continuing on. Is this going to be like
I see it continuing on. I'm hoping that staff will come back with terms of reference for what should be one of our committees, because of the size of the budget that is going to be required and the magnitude of the task in terms of service to the community. So it really should be, in my view, an ongoing committee.
Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Butler?
Yes. Thank you, Your Worship. Through you to Councillor Lubberts. That was certainly the intent when I put it together.
And I think that, Mr. Walsh, you understand that? Yeah. Okay. Any other questions or comments? Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Just a quick comment. Thank you, Councillor Butler, for putting this together. The information I think that this committee would provide would be essential when speaking at the region on the Transit Steering Committee and help to give valuable input so that we focus on maybe less on airports and more on ground transit to help this community connect with other communities.
Once again, I couldn't agree more. And I've had some discussions with transit providers, and there is information that's coming out of the region now. So you're right. It certainly is important for us to be able to put forward credible, accurate information to the region when we're looking for improvements in the regional transit system. So if there are no other questions or comments, I will call the question. All those in favor of the resolution? It's like slow motion. None opposed, that is carried. You're in the same time zone, right? Are there any notices of motion? If there are none, then that takes us to consideration of bylaws. And are there any bylaws that anyone wishes removed from the package? If not, then Councillor McDermott, would you proceed with first and second reading of the bylaw package?
Yes, thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Butler, that the bylaw package containing 114-2016 to adopt a winter control plan for 2016 to 2020 and to repeal bylaw number 124-2013. 115-2016 to provide drainage works in the town of Port Erie in the regional municipality of Niagara, known as the St. John's Marsh Municipal Drain. 116-2016 to amend bylaw number 35-2014, Management Supervisory and Exempt Employee Salary Administration Plan. 117-2016 to accept and declare lands as public highway on the south side of Albany Street, D. Martel, is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. That bylaw package is on the floor for any questions or comments. Councillor Nutt.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through yourself to Mr. Walsh, in regards to bylaw 115-2016, St. John's Marsh Municipal Drain, I had a question that arose from a couple of constituents that of mine that live on Point Holloway Bay Road. Pardon my. They have a drain that runs behind them. I believe it's the Shill Drain. Do you know if I know it's not listed as a municipal drain in Fort Erie, but do you know if Port Colborne has a municipal drain? And as property owners, if it's not a municipal drain and they're having drainage issues, can you provide a high-level recommendation that I could provide back to them on what they can do or what they're allowed to do with that drain?
Through you, Mr. Mayor, I do not believe the Shill Drain is a drain in Port Colborne either. I know it's not in Fort Erie, but I would encourage them to contact Port Colborne's drainage superintendent, Henry Benamere, for that information. With respect to the drainage issues in their backyard, it is a private matter, but it may be a water course that's regulated by the Niagara Peninsula Conservation Authority. They have very skilled technical people there that could provide assistance to them.
Thank you, Your Worship. Through you and Mr. Walsh, thank you very much for that information. I'll take it back to him. My question, because it does bleed directly into the St. John's Marsh Drain where it flows to, so I will provide that with them with that information. Thank you.
Any other questions? Councillor Passero.
Thank you, Your Worship. Regarding the winter control plan, and I apologize for not bringing this up when it was on the floor, I'm not looking for any changes, but just mentioning something to staff. I'm hoping we can look at a situation where we have dead-end streets in town. I have a few coming off of Catherine Street and Birdie Street for when we're doing snow clearing. And the comments I received last year is that depending on the pieces of equipment being used for some of these streets, is rather than going down and using the turnabout at the other end and coming back out, they're taking one pass down the center, a second pass on the right-hand side, and then coming back up and doing what's left. And it's leading to people, depending on which side they are during this exercise, getting out 80% of the snow and their neighbors on the other side getting off scot-free. And it's happening every single time that it snows. So I'm hoping we could take a quick look at the types of equipment we're using, if those turn radiuses could facilitate another piece of equipment. But just that's something I hear every single year is we're on a dead-end street and we are getting almost all of the snow, and the lucky guy on the other side is walking around on a clear sidewalk.
Mr. Walsh.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I did receive a couple of calls of very similar nature myself last year. And depending on the equipment used, you can turn the blade one way or the other. And we've asked, in those cases, we have asked that the contractor or our own forces alternate sides that they dump the snow on. In other cases, it's just not possible due to the nature of the equipment. We have to go up one way, and there's not room to turn around at the dead end, so you've got to back out and take it up the same side again. So we'll do our best in that manner.
Okay. I think, Councillor Passera, if you provide some specifics to Mr. Waltz, then maybe they can determine whether the alternate blade orientation may be a solution.
Absolutely.
Anything further on this?
Yes, one question regarding bylaw 117-2016. And I don't have the luxury of having the map attached to the bylaw, but it speaks to a property south side of Albany Street. And then point number two mentions that it will be declared and assumed as public highway forming part of Ridge Road North. Are those two connected, or is that a typo?
Confident that that's a typo. I'm pretty sure that that's supposed to be a road widening, and it's Albany, isn't it?
Okay. Otherwise, I have to apologize for the lack of attention I've been paying to my constituents on Ridge Road North.
That Ridge Road is a long and winding road.
It is, yeah. Thank you.
Okay. Councillor Nutt, you had something with respect to the... I'm sorry, Councillor Passera, were you finished with the... Okay, Councillor Nutt?
Yes, Your Worship. Just in regard to the winter control plan, last week I had asked about Airline Road and the new sidewalk on Foster. It's not on the sidewalk plowing on page 85 of the report. On what's showing you what will be... Is it going to be added next year? I know it's a new sidewalk, and it wasn't Foster Avenue. Foster Road is the one that has the new sidewalk on it. So Foster and Airline, there's quite a few families on that street with young children.
That would be part of it.
And I got quite a few calls last year about it being cleared.
They have to walk to school?
They do.
Yeah. Mr. Waltz, that probably should be included in the school walking web, I would presume.
Yes, Mr. Mayor, as I stated last week, we'll take a look to make sure it is in the walking web if it's applicable. Just further to that, it may become a moot point as the government may more or less tie our hands as to what we plow in for the coming winters.
We were told that that probably wouldn't take effect until at least the winter of 2017, 18.
18, that's correct.
Maybe not even until the fiscal year 2018. So perhaps you could look into that for the winter of 2016-17. Advise council on that?
Yep, that's what I'm doing.
Great.
Thank you.
Of a similar nature, just so that you can update your maps, there is a dead end on College Road off of the parkway where NCC is located, and I would presume that the municipality plows that. If not... NCC does that?
That's a Class 6 road
It's paved beyond the residences located at the school. So you may want to look into that. It may be that the NCC does that road, but if not, it is a dead end, and I would think that it needs to be dealt with. And then I believe Councillor Passera had raised at one point in time the sidewalk link between Birdie and Champlain because there are children. I didn't notice it in here. And then finally, can you just explain the protocol with respect to sanding and salting, which has a point at which it's supposed to be undertaking, 2 inches, accumulation of 2 inches, and then the removal of snow, which starts at some time after 3 inches?
Mayor, removal of snow is the act of physically taking snow from one place and dumping it somewhere else,
plowing of the snow.
Okay, thank you. Essentially, the busier your road is, the higher class it is, according to the Ontario traffic standards, and the higher level of service it gets. Busier road needs to be plowed sooner. So we have levels of service. I don't have them specifically in front of us. Our main roads get plowed and sanded. A lot of our side streets only get sanded or salted. No plowing involved unless snow gets to a certain depth. Without having a big chart in front of me and guiding council with a chart as well that we could all walk along with, it's kind of hard to explain.
It's always been curious to me, though, how we put down the snow and the salt, aside from when we put down brine. We put down brine, of course, in anticipation that there's going to be conditions that warrant it. But it's always curious to me how we put down sand and salt. And on a class 4 road, could be sitting there for some period of time until the snow accumulates to at least 3 inches, and then it's there for a while, and then it's plowed. And then when it's plowed, mixing in with the sand, I would think that it's removing the sand. But there must be more physics involved than I'm contemplating.
It's not science, it's art, I believe. You look at a number of factors.
Feeling less comfortable knowing that.
But you look at a number of factors, which include the weather forecast. And if we're nearing the end of a storm, we throw down sand and salt. If we're expecting a lot of snow, we may hit it with the plow, and at the same time, we'll sand it. We try not to waste materials. We know how precious and dear they are and how expensive it is. So we're trying to be as effective as possible.
Okay, great. Any other questions with respect to the bylaw package that's on the floor? If none, then Councillor Lubberts, you have third and final reading of the remaining of the items in the bylaw package.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Just before I move forward, I have on my resolution here, bylaw 114, 116, and 117. I'm assuming that's a typo error. I will include 115.
No, 115 was only first and second reading. It deals with the drain, the St. John's Marsh.
All right, okay.
Municipal drain, and so that comes back to us at a later date for third and final reading.
Okay, thank you. Moved by myself and seconded by Councillor McDermott that bylaws number 114-2016, 116-2016, 117-2016 are given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Thank you. Are there any further questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Pashiro, you have the next resolution.
Thank you, Mayor DeCamp. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutts, that bylaw number 118-2016 to confirm the actions of Council at its meeting held on October 24th, 2016 is given first and second reading.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councillor Zanko, you have the next resolution.
Yes, thank you. Moved by myself, seconded by Councillor Nutt, that bylaw number 118-2016 is given third and final reading to be signed by the mayor and the clerk under the corporate seal.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. That takes us to scheduling of meetings. And are there any meetings or announcements? Councillor Nutt, and then Councillor Passero.
One moment. Pull up my calendar. I don't have any meetings, but I just wanted to congratulate Sam Osterhoff from Rock University, the 19-year-old student who won the PC nomination for Niagara West Glambrook riding. It's great to see that somebody so young and the youth are getting engaged in politics, and I wish him all the best in his upcoming by-election race. I hope he does very well.
Thank you. Councillor Passero, there's a message in there, I'm sure.
I have to listen to the audio backwards. Tomorrow afternoon at 4:30, Accessibility Advisory Committee is meeting here at Town Hall, committee room number 1. And then on Thursday, the Gaming Commission is meeting at 5:30. And we have our South End Neighborhood Plan meeting with our focus group, as mentioned earlier, at 6:30, both of those at Town Hall as well.
Councillor Nutt, you forgot to mention them. Thank you, Councillor Passero.
Sorry, Your Worship. I did forget to mention tomorrow that the Niagara Parks Commission is having their meeting regarding the Miller Marina project. So I'll be going out. It's between 4:30 and 6:30.
At the old fort,
yeah.
Thank you. Any other meetings? Councillor Butler and then Councillor McDermott.
Thank you, Your Worship. I just wanted to let everybody know that there is a Ridgeway Business Improvement Association meeting on November 2nd, next Wednesday at the Ridgeway Legion at 5:15. getting it all wrong today.
Councilor McDermott.
Yes, Your Worship. On Wednesday, October 26th, I have an Economic Development Tourism Council meeting at 5 p.m. And on November 2nd, PDS Business Subcommittee at 4 p.m. And a reminder that on November 4th is the Black Cat Gala, which we'll be attending as well.
Thank you. Any other meetings? If not, then Councilor McDermott, you have a resolution so that we can go into closed session.
Thank you, Your Worship. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Butler. The Council does now go into closed session at 7:23 p.m. to discuss the following. A, sale of land, 5 acres, Fort Erie Business Park, pursuant to Section 239, 2C of the Municipal Act 2001, a proposed or pending acquisition or disposition of land by the municipality or local board.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed, that is carried. Hey, Councilor Lubritz, we are back in session and you have the resolution for us to rise and reconvene from closed session.
Yes, thank you very much, Mayor Redekop. Moved by myself and seconded by Councilor McDermott, the Council does now rise and reconvene from closed session at 7:40 p.m. with report to direct staff to proceed as directed.
Any questions or comments? All those in favor? None opposed? That is carried. Councilor Knapp.
Yes, Your Worship.
We're up.
Thank you.
We'll be dragging this out.
Nope. Moved by myself, seconded by Councilor Zanko, that Council adjourns at 7:41 p.m. to reconvene in a regular meeting of Council on November 14, 2016.
All those in favor? None opposed? That is the end of the meeting. Thank you, ladies and gentlemen.